Coming up on Bear Podcast.
Nard went to a My Fair Lady sing-along.
Ray went to New Orleans.
And who can't you come out to?
Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast, 506.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is fun and cute while it lasts.
Two glasses of wine.
Two glasses.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
506. It's Monday, February 17th. Good. How are you, Ray? You came from a vacation.
It wasn't a vacation. It was a last minute trip, and I'm an old dog and need to stay on the porch and learn.
Really? So, okay. How last minute was it? Like Wednesday, Thursday?
Like Wednesday, Thursday of last week.
Oh,
Robbie
wow.
Was like, this band's coming to New Orleans. It's the only place we can go see is New Orleans, and it's Saturday night. Let's go. And I'm like, huh? I said, you know, it's NBA weekend, All-Star weekend in New Orleans. We'll work it out. We'll find something.
So. Well, it's part of being in a relationship that you can be spontaneous. Mike does that sometimes too, you know, just, yeah. Let's go somewhere. Yeah, and then he'll just surprise me. It's usually a surprise for Mike. Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. So, I know last week, during the podcast, I did say that I wanted to go to New Orleans last weekend, but...
But he didn't.
But I didn't. Stayed in.
His Valentine was to Mike was to stay away for the weekend.
Stay away. Well, for one thing, we're not conformists because it is Valentine's Day last Friday. And we're not conformists.
And they've been together 10 years, so...
Yeah, 11. Almost yeah. 11 and a half, yeah. So. Almost 12. But anyway, yeah, so I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed in town and practiced softball and everything. I did something really gay.
Besides, well, I thought everything you did was really gay mannered, so it's different.
Besides having gay sex, right? No, actually, good Lord. Saturday night.
You went to confession?
I went to confession. No, that's not gay.
Well, it is if you're an altar boy.
If you're an altar boy. Anyway, so Saturday, Asians and Friends, Houston, had an event called... Just a night. It's a sing-along evening. And they were doing My Fair Lady.
Oh.
And yeah, like I said, it's really gay. We had to sing along. They printed out these sheets and we were singing along while they're... Have you seen My Fair Lady?
Yes, a long time
ago. A long time ago? So yeah, I just don't know what to say.
So basically,
about
they
that.
Rented a movie, printed the music out, printed everybody out so they could read it.
Yeah.
And then y'all sit there and we're really gay and sing along to My Fair Lady.
That's right. Exactly. Pretty much basically like that. And it's a potluck, so I brought some chicken rice and everything. So, you know. But it was fun. It was fun to laugh
maybe
and everything.
Maybe we should do that with Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins? Maybe we can
invite
do that.
Our friends over for sing along.
Sing along? Oh my God, Mary Poppins.
Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Okay, anyway.
You got it, Ray. Okay, so also get my friend Mark, you know Mark. We wanted to watch RoboCop or something, but we ended up not watching
RoboCop.
It.
Ooh.
RoboCock.
Yeah.
RoboCock.
Let me inject you with my full pistol. Oh yeah.
what did he say? What were his famous lines in RoboCop before? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
That's a long time ago. Oh,
that was like so 90s.
It's so 90s. Anyway, yeah, we wanted to watch RoboCop. We didn't get to watch RoboCop, but instead we watched Enough Said. Have you heard of that? It's
James Gandolfini's last movie.
James Gandolfini's last movie. Not much skin. He's still chubby there, of course, but all full bearded and everything, and he had the. Was shirtless underneath, but you know, no shirtless.
But he wasn't walking around in a speedo.
You know, he's not walking around with boxers on, just like in Sopranos. Yeah, I remember him very well in Sopranos. He's always almost naked there in Sopranos, but this time he isn't in the movie. But that it's really sad because that's the last movie he was in. Yeah, so it is sad. So he was with Julia Louis Dreyfus played Elaine in Seinfeld. So
that's an interesting combination.
It's a good combination, you think?
Interesting combination. So is it good?
Oh, it's really good. It well, not a chick flick because I don't know. It's kind of a good story, feel good story. It's a love story. It's got comedy in it, so it's pretty good. Then after that, we watched Bad Grandpa. Now that's really funny, hilarious.
Oh, it is.
Okay. So, do you know the premise of it?
Yeah.
No?
It's a Jackass thing.
It's a Jackass thing. It's a Johnny Knoxville one, but
Johnny Knoxville dresses up and plays the grandpa, right?
Yeah, that's right. But then he goes around and makes this outrageous clips. They made it part of the movie. It's kind of brilliant how they did it. And it's, you know, he would put a rubber on his crotch and everything and try to, you know, fuck a soda machine. And then just like in Jackass or Candid Camera fashion, he would put his dick in here and he would pull it. And it help me, he was putting out there. People were just freaking out, people taking pictures and everything. And yeah, it's really funny. But then, did you know that they're nominated? Were you the one to tell me?
Uh-uh.
Somebody told me it was nominated for the Academy Awards.
For Best Comedy?
No. Well, not for acting, of course, or anything.
Well, no, but...
For Best Makeup.
Oh, Best Makeup. Best Makeup. Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you knew me.
Because from the preview, it's very convincing. He looks like
an old man.
70-something-year-old man, yeah.
Yeah. So. Who could rap and run around and jump. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's it was funny. There were really times that it was really hilarious because they went to a party. He's got these hanging balls,
mm-hmm.
and then he would strip and they made it part of the movie, and just genuine reactions from people. They made it part of the movie, so that's what's good about it.
When it comes out on video or HBO, I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it. So, how about you? You went to New Orleans. You went to
well,
a
let's
concert.
Start off with Friday night. Let's talk about Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So Valentine's Day was Friday. Cooked dinner for Robbie and everything in the house. We stayed at the house, and I got did a bunch of pictures and stuff for him, and framed him, and had him sitting all over the house, and all that good stuff. So I think, oh, let's get a romantic movie that we can watch. So I saw that Don Juan was out. It just got released on Blu-ray at Redbox. So I was like thinking back. I said, oh, yeah, it's got Gordon Levitt Hewitt in it. And if I remember, he's like a Romeo. And it's a kind of a love story where because he's out dating all these women and it comes down, he meets the perfect girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so much so.
What happened?
Would not be a good Valentine's movie.
Oh,
well,
no.
I mean, it's a cute movie, but it's about the fact that he's addicted to porn.
Okay.
So.
Watching porn.
So he goes out and hooks up with these girls, has sex with them, and he talks about having sex with them and how it's not as good as jacking off to porn.
Really?
So, and that's kind of the premise of the movie. And then he meets this girl that's a knockout, and she's played by Scarlett Johansson, and all this stuff happens, and she catches him watching porn. When they first meet up, she says, look, she was all disgusted about it, and was like, no, you can't do this, and that, and the other. And then she caught him again, which is what ended their relationship.
She
checked his browsing history.
Oh, okay.
So, afterward, I got all these questions about, so, are you trying to tell me that you really like, you're addicted to porn and blah, blah, blah?
Really?
Like, No.
No.
I was like, I did not really know what this movie is about. I got it because it's Don Juan. And what I remembered about it, it was about the Gordon Levitt Hewitt character being kind of a hustler type, a gigolo and going out and dating all these, hooking up with all these girls, and then he meets the right one and everything, which was sort of true.
Okay.
But the very end of it was not like that. It was about something else, and if you watch the movie, you'll find that. I don't spoil it for you. But I was like, not a good Valentine's Day movie. So.
That's a mistake.
But we enjoyed it. I mean, we enjoyed watching the movie and stuff, so.
It's kind of funny. It has always something to do with, are you telling me about something?
Yes. And Gordon Levitt Hewitt is just gorgeous in this movie because he's all pumped up and cut.
Really?
And yes.
He's
and
older
very,
now.
Very Italian Jersey.
Italian Jersey.
Yeah. So.
Like Soprano type. The Soprano.
Sort of, yeah.
Because they're all
yeah.
Italian Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Sort of. But it's a very good movie. And then, of course, Saturday we drove all the way to New Orleans. Left here at noon, hauled ass to New Orleans, got down there. And the whole thing we were talking about back and forth about where to stay, you know, trying to find a place to, because it's NBA All-Star weekend in New Orleans, was where to park. Because, you know, parking in the French Quarter is a bitch.
Parking near the French Quarter during the
Mardi Gras.
No, actually, well, it's no NBA.
Well, it's the NBA. NBA, it's NBA. That's the Masters of Business. But NBA.
NBA All-Stars.
NBA yeah. All-Stars. Also, Mardi Gras is starting because they had a parade.
Oh, yeah.
So it's starting to kick, stuff's starting to kick off for that. Well, so I went online and said, okay, I want to make sure I get a place. So I found a parking garage that was manned 24/7, reserved a space for Saturday, because after midnight, you have to kick and pay for another day, reserved it for Saturday and Sunday. Well, we get down to New Orleans about 6:37, where Bourbon Street, but the French Quarter is pretty much blocked off. You can't get into it because the parade started at 6:30. So by the time we get down there, I text Mike. He said, yeah, everything's blocked off already. So we just go to the venue, which is the Civic Theater, which is a gorgeous theater in New Orleans that has been renovated. I don't think the area that we were standing in is probably much bigger than your house.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was a very small venue, and then it had three tiers of seats. You know, had you come in, you stepped out, and there was like a platform, or like a little bit of space you could stand, and then it stepped down, and you were on the floor, and then the band was on the stage and everything, and it was just solid white. They'd remodeled it. The bathrooms were gorgeous. I mean, it was a really nice venue
Civic Center.
I mean, it's an old theater. It was built in 1905. And it's gorgeous, and it's very intimate.
All right.
So, I mean, you're not that far from the band and everything, so. The opening band, I can't remember what their name are, but they were electronic music, and all their songs kind of sounded alike, and they all ended abruptly.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's their style.
Yeah. But we went to see Lord Huron, who, if y'all know who they are, go look them up, Google them, because one of their songs got put in a Zales commercial back a couple weeks ago. Is how Robbie got turned on to them, because he heard the thing, Shazammed it, got the whole album, listened to it, and that's all we've been listening to pretty much straight for 2 weeks is the Lord Huron Everett. And it's indie folk rock type stuff. Very good. The guy that's actually started the band is from Minnesota.
Ah.
He's a graphic artist, and he does this on the side. This was just his side project.
Oh, okay.
He played instruments from a kid, and then he met some other guys, and they started this whole band. And their music, usually I judge a band by if their music sounds good on the record, and then if you go watch him live and it sounds just as good live, well, this is one of the ones that was just as good live, if not better. They had a lot of energy. The crowd loved them. Although there's one weird thing that happened to me at the concert. Between the opening number and them coming on, this whole group of, it looked kind of like the New Orleans Republic douchebag party showed up.
Oh, you're telling me about that.
And it was like maybe 30 or so of them. But they just showed up in mass. And the reason I thought they were Republicans because they all wore slacks and blazers with no ties. And they had...
Are they Mormons?
I don't know. But all the women were shit-faced drunk and couldn't half stand up.
Oh.
But once they got there, the whole vibe of the inside of the building changed. I mean, everybody was kind of laid back and relaxed. And then here's what really got me. When I'm dropped a cigarette pack and out rolled, you know, there's the glass cigarette things that you can put a joint in. So it's you're smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Rolled out across the floor. And they were just a big, hot mess.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't run it for us, but it was just a distraction. It was just like, God, why in the fuck did y'all have to show up?
But what about the wheelchair guy?
Oh, and there was a guy that showed up, too. He had a Stephen Hawking's wheelchair. I mean, they rolled him in, and we were sitting kind of in the back, and then there was a place for wheelchairs right here, and we were sitting down on the platform of it. So they got him rolled in and got him all set up, and then his chair started to rise, so he got jacked up above everybody, and I was like, cool.
Cool.
And then he had this flat monitor that was hung up on the thing in front of him, and how he talked to people was by blinking his eye, by moving his eye and doing the spelling thing.
Stephen Hawking was watching the concert.
I need water, something, you know, kind of like that deal, which was, it was all pretty cool. I was like, damn, this dude's got this set up.
Wow.
And there was a group of people there with him and everything, but it was kind of cool. I mean, I kind of felt bad for the guy because he's a paraplegic and pretty much was just there. But it was kind of cool to see how far technology has progressed, that he can actually go out to a concert with friends, enjoy himself, them have a good time, you know, and do the whole thing.
I guess so. Did he go alone?
Oh, no. He could never go anywhere alone.
Yeah.
I mean, he could probably run around the house, but that's about it. I mean, he's pretty much, probably the rest of his life, pretty much 95% of the time dependent on somebody else. Because, I mean, he's total paralyzed. I mean, he could barely move his hand to roll the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very limited mobility with that. And moving his thumb so he could click on something on the chair.
How did he talk again?
My name is Stephen Hawking. You know, that kind of... That like somebody that's had their vocal box thing, and they got
you gotta watch that, guys.
So, but it was very interesting. So, and then we went out, and Mike and them got old and went to sleep on us. And
yeah. So they're in New Orleans. My partner's in New Orleans, and a couple of friends of ours are there too. And they didn't get to meet Ray there, even though they're in the same city, probably within less than 500 meters away.
Yeah. So after the parking drama of getting to the parking garage Saturday night, after the concert was over with,
mm-hmm.
because everything's blocked off and we finally squirreled around until we got over there, and all the fucking hoochie mamas out in the middle of the street that would not get the fuck out of my way, we got the garage. It was about 12:30 or so, and then we grabbed our bags out and walked over to Scott's place, dropped our bags off, and then we went out drinking with him. So then we were out to about 3:30, and then I was finally like, guys, I gotta go home.
I'm going to do that 2 weeks from now. I'm going to go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. So that should be exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are going there too?
We're going back. That's the fun
this time. We're all going to be there.
2 weeks and we can actually enjoy it because you're not going to run down here and then run back. So,
yep. So it should be exciting.
Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, Sunday night, afternoon, we got back. We sat there and watched TV and we watched HBO's Look.
Is it any good?
It's okay. I want to watch it with Robbie because he lived in San Francisco for 4 years. But how the story is written and everything, and he was like, "Yeah, it's okay." He said he said it's very San Francisco-y mm-hmm. about the way the guys interact with each other, and like there's a scene in there where this guy hooks up with another guy, and because he says one little thing, the other guy's like, "Look, I'm gone. I'm out of here."
Yeah,
he said that's very typical.
I would imagine it feels like Monk. Monk is in San Francisco also, so. I guess the background, the way they talk.
I don't think Monk was in a bathhouse.
No, he was
with Scott Bakula.
You're right. I don't think so.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, you mentioned about being in a band. Ray, I have to tell you something.
What?
I might be joining a band myself.
Oh.
So, guys.
A gay band?
I think it's going to be a gay band, but it's more like a garage band, actually. Not the Apple garage band, but.
So have you had to come up with a name yet?
No, not yet, no.
I'll say you should be the Foreskins.
The Foreskins? There are four of us.
Yeah.
there are four of us, there's Foreskins. So
and then that could be like head cheese, toe cheese.
Toe cheese.
Butt cheese.
Richard cheese. Richard cheese.
Nacho cheese. If it's a Hispanic guy, you can say it's nacho cheese.
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be a punk band, a real old school 80s punk band that we're going to do. And I don't know yet. We're probably sing some old Sex Pistols songs or mm-hmm. some...
Oh, man, this sounds familiar now. Didn't I put them in touch with you? Or are you in touch with them?
Yeah, exactly. That's the guy. That's what's good, what happened to us last when we did the 500th episode celebration at the Dave's. I met this guy. His name is Jack. He said he wants to, to set up a band. He's looking for a bass player. Said, oh my God, I can play bass. Okay, I can play bass. I have a bass guitar. We can play. And then we kind of hooked up and just to, communicating via Facebook. And we're going to start a band. So I think he found a drummer and we'll probably do it at his place. And tomorrow, actually, we're going to do a rehearsal.
Oh, cool.
So I haven't played in a band for 16 years.
It's been like 4 hours since he's played with himself.
I know, right? That's right. So I'm excited. I get to play again, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be, old school garage. You cannot play until 10 o'clock p.m. We look forward
for a performance on Bear Podcast.
Yes, we can do that. Probably film some for this podcast. Anyway, that's just something that we're gonna do very soon. Okay. Let's move on to some of our topics. One of the questions I came upon on Reddit, mm-hmm. actually. So, okay, here's the question. Who you can't come out to? Who do you think?
Who can you not come out to?
Who do you think you cannot come out
to? Well, there's one person that I ever thought that should know, but I've never come out to them, and that's my dad.
Okay.
But that's more because we just don't have the relationship, so I don't see where it's any of his damn business, personally. Okay. I mean, he's met Patrick, I think John.
I met him before, okay.
Yeah, met
them. Your exes, yeah.
Exes, so I'm sure he's figured it out by now. I know he asked my brother and sister at one point about it, and they said, you need to talk to Ray. But he's never brought it up, so I just never brought it up. And I said, you know, it's not
maybe that was the answer by itself, that maybe you need to talk to Ray.
Yeah, so.
Oh, okay, now I know.
So, but that's about the only person, you know.
Really? Among you have any problems?
Me? Well, I'm out at work. I mean.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out at work, too. And then, of course, my family also, my sister. But then there is one in the family who I haven't really come out to. It's verbally. Maybe he knows also. It's my brother.
What if he's gay?
Maybe he's gay too. Oh my God.
Maybe that's why he's still single at his age.
Yeah, he is older than me and he's still single.
Maybe you need to hurt the bathhouses and see if you can find him next time.
Maybe. Good idea. But yeah, it's something that I don't discuss with my brother at all for some reason. And it's just, I don't know. It never came up. So my brother and I never really talked about it. So not that I'm, but the question is really who you cannot come out to, but I could pretty much come out to everyone except, you know. But you have a good point. It's something that you already talk. You really don't need to talk about because it's really, really none of your business.
It's really not their business.
Yeah, it's really not their business. I mean, yeah, like your dad and my brothers. It doesn't hurt if they know, if they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's weird. Yeah. So, yeah, tell us, guys. Email us or voicemail us and tell us. What do you guys think? Who do you cannot come out to? I've heard people, they cannot come out to their parents, of course. Some of them are very young. They cannot come out. Which goes back to the same question a couple of weeks ago when we talked about a 19-year-old who was...
Have you got a follow-up on that?
I haven't had a follow-up yet. You cannot come out until you are really sure. You cannot come out.
Well, not as much really sure. Mine is until you can take care of yourself in case it goes bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So in that case, you cannot come out. But how about you're already comfortable, you're already stable and everything. I heard
people. We know people that are our age that still haven't come out to their parents.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. They've been in long-term relationships with people here in Houston.
But oh, yeah. I have friends who are, oh, my God. How old is he? 58. He's almost 60 and he hasn't really come out to his family. Yeah. And he's living with two other bears. So it's kind of weird. Not weird, but it's just unusual that, you know, you really haven't come out if you're in your almost 60. I don't know. I mean,
does he have kids?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. I thought you were talking about somebody else. But anyway.
Yeah. Some people have. Yeah. Tell us, guys, if you guys, who you have on. Who do you think you cannot come out to? So that's the all right.
Okay. Some entertainment here real quick, just to bring up some shows that are coming up. Star-Cross is actually premiering tonight on CW, which is Monday, February 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Basically, it's pretty white people with alien race issues. So.
Nice.
So okay. I had to call Robbie and tell him to record it for me.
Okay. Can you do it on your app?
Well, I do have that, but Robbie won't give me the damn password so I can set it up. So, because I don't think he remembers it.
Oh, okay.
The next show that comes out that looks, and the reason I brought it because it sounds like an interesting premise on ABC. It's called Mixology, and it premieres Wednesday, February the 26th at 9:30, 8:30 Central. Open a tab with this boozy high concept comedy, and you'll get the feeling of going to a fancy singles bar without the drudgery of putting on your face on. The entire season is set over the course of one night, and each episode will focus on various characters as the 11 different and presumably attractive people meet and greet.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of interesting that this entire show happens over one night, and it's about one night that happens in these 11 people's lives. So it sounds kind of interesting. So, And then we got some others coming in March. We'll go into those the next week because we're running out of time here. So, but that's the two in February that's coming up. So.
Okay. Now I have to bring up, is that all? Is that all you have?
Well, I got some more, but we'll talk about those next show.
Okay.
Because they're coming out in March, and we'll have a couple shows before then.
Okay.
I try to give the heads up so you got time to plan and record and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just Star-Cross messed with me. And these are shows that I like because they're pretty little white people with issues.
Okay. Aliens, vampires, witches, dogs, cats.
All right. So is that pretty much it?
That's it. We're okay. Going to events now.
So we're going to events. We have, actually, I think this is fun. It's in Reno, Nevada. It's Bears Reno Fun Train 2014. It's going to be on March 7th. Yeah, it's Reno, Nevada. So I haven't been to Reno before. So anyway, get on board. The Bears are heading to Reno again. San Jose, Emeryville to Sacramento to Reno. It's funny, my mom lives in Emeryville. Okay, so we are on the March 7th, 2014 weekend fun train, the rock and roll train with chocolate and wine tasting. See, it's really good at that point.
So, what wine goes good with chocolate?
I don't know. White?
I don't know.
So let us know. That's what we're saying. Okay. What better way to enjoy it than aboard the Reno Fun Train? Party and dance your way through the snowy mountains. Ooh, it's going to be cold. For a weekend of fun and games. Sit back, relax, and watch the spectacular wintertime scenery on the way home. Step aboard the famous Reno Fun Train and treat yourself to a winter weekend of fun with a dance car with DJ music. Live music is gay. Like, because it's the piano lounge. So you got to be like that kind of live music. And you have a great gift shop. Designated smoking car with cigar lounge. Okay. So cafe car. Nice. Open seating, great dome, available chair massage, and Elvis tribute artist. Nice. He's got to be hairy too. There is no other train like this in the world. Okay. So that's going to be exciting. So go to southbaybears.org for more information. Click on their events links and you can see.
So what happens? They take the train from one place to another, and they stay at a hotel or something overnight, and then they catch the train and go.
I guess so. I guess that's what it is.
Because it'd be really interesting if they had sleeper cars to run out on that train.
I know. People bunking with each other. So yeah, if you guys
that's what you want to call it.
If you guys have events in the future, let us know. So give us your details and everything. Email us at events@bearpodcast.com so we can share it to our audience. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, I found the gay this week. I thought it was pretty funny, so I had to bring it. You can find this on queerity.com, but the gay this week is 26 totally dope things that turn 90 kids gay.
I could relate to some of this, really.
Yes. Okay. We made it the top 10 things for the show late, so you can go watch out and see the 16 that we cut out, but these are the top 10 that I thought was pretty good to make you gay in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Number one, Zach Morris. Who among us didn't have a crush on the Saved by the Bell leading man child? Even better that Mark Paul Gosselaar certainly doesn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get that, but I guess he's gay friendly.
Yeah, I guess so.
Number two, X-Men. A bunch of social misfits who band together and form strong community bonds, then fight bad guys in their underwear.
I don't know about it being making me gay because the only naked guy there is really Wolverine.
Yeah,
right.
But they showed naked guys all the time. But I related to as a kid because they were misfits. I felt like a misfit.
I guess.
I mean, that they gay, people, a lot of gay people associated with them because it's kind of the same thing. That they were outcast because they're mutants. We're outcast because we were gay.
Yeah, I guess in that sense. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, and then here's my favorite one because I remember masturbating to this several times as a kid. The Soloflex infomercial. This revolutionary fitness product that promised a fast, smooth pump, seriously, should have come with a disclaimer. May cause wet dreams and questioning youth. Yes, it did. Well, all of it, what not really wet dreams, but whacking one out. To his fans, former Soloflex model Scott Madison is an Adonis whose muscular frame remains popular viewing on YouTube and websites such as hunkdujour.com. But in the eyes of the law, he's an embezzler. U.S. District Judge Michael W. Mossman in Portland sentenced Madison today to 2 years in prison for siphoning nearly $250,000 from his uncle's small mortgage company in Vancouver.
Soloflex infomercials.
Yeah, so the hot guy is now in jail. So now he's going to be somebody bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was interesting because I remember, they replayed that same Soloflex commercial for years until they finally updated it. And then they did something about the company on TV or something one time. And the guy that was what was his name? My mind just went blank. Scott Madison was head of marketing for Soloflex there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. So I guess Solo flexed that offer. He didn't work out, and they got rid of him. So he went to work for his uncle, and then he embezzled from him,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of sad. But pretty boys in jail. So for all the guys in prison up in Vancouver, mm-hmm. tell us what it's like
to Scott be with Madison. Scott Madison.
Toss his little salad, because I'd still probably do it. Okay, number five, the Blue Ranger.
Okay.
Now out actor David Yost, forever dreamy Blue Billy, says he was harassed on set for being gay. Must have made for some uncomfortable moments in the Megazord. While it was originally believed that he left the series due to insufficient pay, Yost later revealed in his 2010 interview with No Pink Spandex that he left the series because he could no longer handle harassment by the production crew that targeted his sexual orientation.
What? Really?
According to Yost, he was often called faggot, and the producers frequently questioned other cast members in private about Yost's sexuality. Yost left late in the fourth season after a week of contemplation instead of continuing work another 6 months into the second film. He claims that his co-workers involved with writing, filming, and producing the show considered him not worthy to be where he was and that he could not be a superhero because of his homosexuality.
What? Really?
Scott Page, a producer of the show, starting with Power Rangers Zego, responded through TMZ that Yost actually left over a pay bonus being dropped, but did not elaborate further or dispute any of Yost's claims about the outside reasons for leaving the show.
Mm.
Saban Entertainment made no official statement regarding the subject. After Yost left Power Rangers, he tried to get rid of his homosexuality with conversion therapy for 2 years.
Really?
But this failed.
Of course.
Eventually, Yost had a nervous breakdown, which resulted in a psychiatric hospitalization for 5 weeks. After Yost checked out, he moved to Mexico for a year and eventually accepted his sexuality.
So he became gay
in Mexico.
Fully in Mexico.
Yes. So, okay. But I just thought that was great because I used to think Billy was the cutest thing. Oh, God, when I watched Power Rangers.
Pervert.
Then I just was like, oh, he's got to be gay. He's got, and he was.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look as cute as he used to, though.
No.
So go look at his thing. Number six.
Okay, let me take this one. Calvin Klein, kid in the 90s, can't be caught dead rocking tighty whities in their locker room. That sure didn't stop them from dreaming. Yes, Calvin Klein.
Yes.
Yes.
Marky Mark. Was that
Mark?
No, was that later?
Wait, is it Calvin Klein or Kevin Klein? It's Calvin Klein. It's Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein. Yeah, Kevin Klein's an actor.
Yeah.
Who also played a gay role.
In and Out.
In and Out, yes.
In and Out, I remember that one. Okay, so Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright. One rode a unicorn and the other organic tricycle. But their impacts couldn't have been more similar. Yeah, I remember watching Strawberry Shortcake back then, yeah.
I remember watching Rainbow Bright.
Okay, how about this one? This, everyone can relate
to. This is still this way.
Until this way. Yeah, still the same. WWF. Okay, all the theatrics of a Liberace concert and the skin of an A&F. Asian Prince?
No.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
Okay. Quarterly, while still a socially acceptable obsession for a 10-year-old boy. Yes, I remember this. Who did I like back then? Big Boss Man, he's a big bear back then. Who else? Aaron Carney? I can't
see. I get confused because I was, as a kid, I watched WWF back when it was Georgia Wrestling Federation.
Because
I used to go to the Bell Auditorium in Augusta, Georgia, and actually watch it.
Oh, really?
With my grandfather.
Oh, really?
And then watched it every Saturday morning, every Saturday afternoon on TV with him because they broadcast it.
Oh.
The stuff that was filmed in Atlanta.
And you try to see yourself, you're there.
I never remember being in any of the things they filmed in Augusta.
Oh, okay.
Most of it was filmed in Atlanta, so.
Yeah, I remember it really well. Who else were there?
And then The Rock came along.
The Rock. Well,
John Cena.
That's really later, though.
But, like, back then, it's, you know, it's hard to remember. Oh, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
The big blonde hairdo.
Oh, yeah. And who else were there? The Hart Foundation. Some of them are bears. Bam Bam Bigelow.
I don't remember.
You don't remember him? Bam Bam Bigelow.
I remember Andre the Giant days.
Andre the Giant. There's a few more. Sergeant Slaughter. I remember him. He was also a wrestler. Of course, Big Boss Man, like I said earlier. Yeah. I wonder where they are now. Maybe they're...
Probably saw them somewhere.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, of course, right there.
So.
Okay. Let's go to Tinky Winky.
That's number nine. That's enough said about that. You can't even say anything more gayer than that.
I know, right? And of course, well, the internet, of course. It says here, the kids in the 90s had the unique, insane experience of witnessing the birth of the information age as they were coming of age. Yes, it was in the late 90s, I guess. Mid-90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
We're talking about creepy AOL chat rooms, secret online boyfriends, and all the internet porn your 56K modem could handle. Yeah, talk about a game changer. So, yeah, I remember back then I would download some, yeah.
Well, that was 97, 98 before I actually had internet.
Mm.
I think they had just come out with DSL.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We only had a 14.4 kbps modem back then. It's really slow and just fast in the early 90s, but yeah,
it's nothing now.
It's nothing now. Yeah.
My phone's faster than that.
Exactly. Okay, I just wanted to add here. I know you said 10, but there's one that really I grew up with.
Well, see, I didn't even recognize this, and I never knew the hell this
was. Yeah, bananas in pajamas. So, I remember then B1 and B2, you know, these two bananas walking around.
Yeah.
And we would talk about it back in when I was working back then in the Philippines. So that was in the 90s. Yeah, I remember.
Mm.
B1 and B2. And, you know, if you two guys were kind of big and then they're kind of referred to B1 as B2.
Mm-hmm.
But they're walking bananas. Mm. So think about it.
Well, see, the funny thing about that, most of this stuff happened when I was in my 20s. So
oh, yeah, okay.
I was really a perv on some of it.
All right, let's move on. Okay, this is something that many of you guys might be interested in. I don't know. Some people don't like, they like fresh ones, but okay, so I'm going to take this, okay?
Okay.
Or do you want to take this?
No, you take it.
Okay, so here's the geek, guys. This 3-year-old pizza won't kill you.
Well, but it'll piss a bunch of bears off in a bear run.
Yeah. It's the zombie apocalypse, and the only items on the menu are a year-old pizza and cockroach sashimi. Which one would you choose? Well, if that pepperoni smattered pie came from the U.S. Army Natick Labs, you've hit the jackpot. A team of food scientists at the facility are apparently hard at work developing pizza that can stay good for up to 3 years. Specifically for deployed soldiers' prepacked meals. In fact, they're just finished making a prototype this February.
Okay. I got to insert here.
Mm-hmm.
This has probably got to be the most unhealthiest pizza on the face of the earth.
It's got to be. Yeah.
Because
preservatives?
I got, well, the preservatives, and I got this whole thing about robbing organic and natural and stuff. So we're trying to do the whole organic thing. So I'll live healthier. Because I just had this big thing about Subway putting, there's a chemical in Subway bread that has nothing to do with bread, but they were putting it in there as a preservative type thing, and now they finally said they're going to phase it out and get rid of it because there's all this publicity about it.
Mm.
But
yeah, I heard about God that.
Well, now we know where they're putting it.
Okay.
In the U.S. Army.
But then it's really, well, you have these as rations just in case you get stuck somewhere.
Yeah, but you know this shit has been, it's supposed to last for years. And there's all kind of fucking preservatives in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys in the military, when they're deployed, get exposed to enough crap, much less what they have, this crap they have to eat. Although I've been told, I have had some rations that were pretty good. The peanut butter stuff's usually pretty good.
Well, you can't go wrong with peanut butter.
But it can go bad. It can get rancid pretty quick, but not in your MKEs.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what do you guys think about 3-year-old pizzas? But this is for the military, so our veterans may be having. Yeah. If you're a veteran, can you try some?
Yeah, if you're a veteran and you've had to eat these meals, tell us what you think. Because I know some of them are nasty, and then some. But I guess you know when you're trying to keep up that 2,000 calories plus a day, and you're out in the middle of the fucking desert, and you ain't got nobody cooking for you, it's better than nothing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, let's go to the bizarre.
Okay, this is pretty interesting because I read this one after you put it on there, and I was like,
Mm-hmm.
Your earwax says a lot about you. Ugh. Researchers have dug deep into the ears of volunteers to study a revolting but potentially promising new way to get clues about a person's identity and habits. The team of organic chemists says earwax is a neglected body secretion that can reveal a person's ethnicity and possibly much more information.
Really?
There he goes. It's probably a lie. When they heated earwax samples from volunteers to release volatile organic compounds, VOCs, the researchers found out that the earwax of Caucasians, which tends to be wet,
ugh,
which is true because my ears are always kind of slick, could easily be told apart from the wax those of East Asian descent, which is usually dry.
Mine's dry.
Which is why you always got that crusty stuff in here.
Oh, thank you.
With the former containing heavier amounts of 11 of the dozen VOCs they tested for. The researchers became interested in earwax after learning that the same gene linked to whether earwax is wet or dry is associated with underarm odor, which they say can convey a great deal of information about an individual, including personal identity, gender, sexual orientation, and health nature.
Really? Can you tell?
So now you can tell by your trick's earwax if he's really gay or not. Reports News Today. We think it's possible that earwax may contain similar information. Last year, biologists were able to determine a blue whale's testosterone and stress levels by taking samples from its 10-inch deep layer of earwax. Popular Science notes, more on the 10-inch earplug here. So you go look at that.
So if you want,
I guess it's like an ice core sample. You get it, and then you go look through the layers and see what's all there, so you know what the stresses the body's going through and where they've come in contact with.
So for you to know if someone's gay, you give him a Q-tip. Here, clean your ears.
You clean the ear and you lick it.
And you lick at him. You're gay! Yeah, okay, perfect. That's where you see goals are gross.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they're still in the middle of studies for this, right? I mean, they're still
discovering. But I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, the more research, your body excretes and exfoliates, not exterminate, you know, like the, what you call Dilex, but exfoliate.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff comes out, and then with the DNA markers and stuff, it can. I think they're learning that certain things can tell more about you. So, I mean, maybe they can tell, you know, if somebody's got, instead of like doing, eventually maybe telling somebody's got cancer or something, they can check the ears and check the earwax and see if there's certain secretions that your body creates when you have cancer or something else. So they can tell without having to do a bunch of invasive tests or drawing blood or.
So you just, here, clean your ears and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that.
I don't know. My ears, I'm probably about tomorrow when I clean my ears, they're probably going to be nasty as hell.
Oh.
Because being in that concert with that loud ass music thumping and then going to Oz and hearing boom, 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 boom.
Oh, by the way, how was Oz? Were you carded?
I was carded and they said, okay, we have an upper age limit here. The dick doctors are kind of slow tonight, so they need some more money, so we're going to let you in. Needless to they know how cheap I am and would not tip a dick dancer.
You're there to watch from afar.
With my partner present.
Okay. Okay, so that was interesting. Yeah, earwax. Detecting if your sexuality and ethnicity using earwax.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to our audience feedback. We got an email.
Did Norm ever email us messages back?
No, not yet.
Norm messages back, and we can hook you up with Daniel.
Okay. So Daniel, it's from Daniel. This is for the caller Norman. My name is Daniel. I'm originally from Arkansas, but live in Louisiana.
Yeah!
I get to Arkansas often. My sister lives there, so that's what he says. You can look me up on Facebook or email me. So, Norman, if you get in contact with us. So, he is a diehard Razorback fan.
So, that means he can squeal like a little pig.
Okay, so thanks, Norman and Ray. Thank you. And as a loyal fan, Daniel, big grizzly hugs. Thanks, Daniel. Okay.
Well, if Norman messages back, we'll get y'all in contact with each other so y'all can spread news about what's life like in Arkansas.
Yeah, so Norman, I have his email, so
yeah.
If you watch this, email me. So email us, show@bearpodcast.com, so we could hook you up with Daniel here, who lives in
See, making those connections all Louisiana. Over the world.
That's right. Just come to Bear Podcast for your hookups.
maybe you need to write the Bear Podcast app hookup app.
We can do that probably. Then we'll announce.
We can promote the show and you can hook up with other bears.
Yeah, we can do that.
And chasers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so shout out to Ray.
Okay, my shout out is to my friend Scott. Actually, Scott is one of my best friends from high school. He moved to New Orleans about 3.5 years ago. And except for a couple times, about the same time he moved down there, I ran out of money and couldn't go travel in New Orleans all the time. I think we met each other the last Southern Decadence I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than just chatting and keeping up on Facebook and stuff, I hadn't really seen him. And you got to see him when he came to Houston because we already had plans that weekend and couldn't do anything with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he let us crash his house Sunday morning, actually, by the time we got there.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have to get a hotel room, so I appreciate that. But the best thing, I would like to say thank you to Britt, who is one of the gorgeous dick dancers at Oz, who looks like Michelangelo's David and an ass for days. Thank you for saying that I look younger than Scott. Because did Scott said this. Say that? Yeah, well, Scott. Well, of course, Scott knows all of them. Anybody I think over the age of 18 to 30 that goes into the bars in New Orleans, Scott knows.
Oh,
he knows God. Ed. They work out at the same gym.
Oh, okay.
So
this is the same gym as Mike.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm surprised he hadn't met Mike yet.
Yeah.
So
maybe Bayface. Maybe Bayface.
So, but anyway, they. He was introducing me to people around the bar, and he said, "Hey, I'll introduce my Ray. It's my best. We went to high school together and stuff." And the guy looked at him and said, "But he looks younger than you."
You take care of yourself.
Had I not been a cheap bitch, I'd have put a $10 in his jockstrap.
Nice. Poor Scott. But anyway.
I had to message Scott. I said, "What was that guy's name?" He said, "Britt." "Why, are you going to write it down in your journal?" I said, "No, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast, bitch."
Make sure he listens to this or watch it. Okay, so as for me, I want to give a shout out to my friends at The Way. My softball team before, and I'm joining them again. We've been playing lately, and we're going to have some scrimmages this coming weekend. But other than that, also Steven, he stayed with Mike this weekend, and his friend
Raul. He slacked out on us.
Yeah, he did show up with you guys. And and also, happy Valentine's Day to Mike, because he sent me flowers. Last Friday was
Did you send him any flowers?
I only sent him a card. Is it bad? I'll make it up to him this weekend. I'll make him breakfast or something.
Right.
Saturday morning, get him some coffee.
All right, Trader Joe's. If you got a Trader Joe's in here, dozen roses for $13. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And if you get the little miniature roses, they last even longer and look even better. So that's all I'm saying. If you're on a tight budget and you got Trader Joe's, go get the damn flowers, because their flowers are always cheap.
Okay.
Much cheaper than buying them anywhere else I've ever seen. So.
Okay.
Not that they're sponsors or anything of ours, but if they'd like to, contact us at show@bearpodcast.com.
Yes, that's right. Okay. And you can give us a call.
And you can give us a call, too, at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. You can call and leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show like we did with Norman.
Yes, that's right.
I think about it for a second. I'm so screwed up with names anymore.
Yeah.
And leave us a voice message, which we'd love to hear from anybody. You know, tell us what's going on. If you got events, you can call us and tell us about events.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or email us at events@bearpodcast.com and just keep us involved.
Yeah. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and also subscribe via iTunes. Leave a review there. It'd be great to have reviews on iTunes. Yes. Also, subscribe via YouTube and Vimeo. We're there also. And you can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network, Stitch Radio, and also on the Roku Player. If you have a Roku Player and you have the Pride Player app in your Roku Player, be able to watch it. We got some listeners who contacted me. "Hey, I got to watch you on the Roku Player." I mean, it's just rare to hear that. And we're also available on Roku. So also, lastly, go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. All the links, all the show notes are there, so you can go to bearpodcast.com for more details. Okay, so that's it. Thank you everyone for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Well, it puts this little tab over here, and regardless of how you flip it, it's in the damn way.
Google Drive. Me, me, me. It's my turn. Me, me, me.
Me.
Coming up next on Bear Podcast.
Nard went to My Fair Lady singing.
Sing along. Sorry. Sing. Damn, autocorrect.